All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, April 23rd of 2024. Looking ahead, we have a three-game NBA main slate this evening. We have a 10-game MLB main slate. And then over in the NHL streets, we have a four-game NHL slate on tap tonight. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. You get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do the show on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. So with that said, we didn't have the opportunity to announce the winners for the birdie battle yesterday for this last week's tournament here due to the tournament finishing yesterday. But all of that information is in now and standings are official. So if you guys aren't familiar with the birdie battle, it's our promotion that we are doing for the PGA season over the summer here. We're giving away two tickets to the 2025 Masters. I will drop this page in the chat in case you guys haven't got signed up yet. I would highly recommend getting signed up if you're going to be playing some PGA DFS all summer long here and get in on the prizes. You can see what we are giving away each and every week and the season-long prizes. You can see how to enter, really simple here, and then ask any questions that you guys have. And then tune in every week and we will announce our winners. So for this week, our highest scorer of the week was M. Bradford with a 27th place finish and 558.5 points. He is, or she is, going to win at being our top finisher of the week. They're going to get a SaberSim custom golf hat and then an entry into our end of the season Masters free roll here. So congratulations to you. And then now what I'm going to do is take everybody who participated this last week, and then we are going to do a spin here to see who gets free entry into not this upcoming week's tournament, but the following week. So just so you guys know, we don't support the Zurich Classic here. It's on the schedule. If you go down to schedule, you'll see that this week's tournament is crossed out because it is a team event, and we do not support team events at the moment. So the birdie battle will be resuming for the CJ Cup on May 2nd here. But either way, the winner for the spin here is going to get entry into that upcoming contest here. And it looks like our winner is... Congratulations. Thank you to everybody who continues to participate each and every week. We're really excited about this giveaway, and we hope that you guys are enjoying some golf DFS along the way here. All right. So our support team will reach out to the winners to make sure that they are able to claim their prizes. And with that said, I'm going to pull up the SaberSim app. We are going to jump into questions as usual here. All right. App pulled up, and it looks like our first question came in today from Hammer here. And Hammer said, "Hey coach, referencing the new MLB DFS profit video and given the update to the DFS bankroll plan, how should I save my lineups, unique rank versus unique random, sorted by total prize pool or entry fee?" Good question here. You know, the default save method in the app is unique rank. And the reason for that is because I think the one thing that probably hurts more than anything is like when you have a good lineup and it ends up being, and your top scoring lineup ends up being in your lowest entry fee contest. Like, that's probably one of the worst things, right? Well, when you use unique rank, what you're doing is you're putting your best contest, the contest that grayed out highest in your pool, into the contest that are the highest on your list there, and then it all gets sorted descending. So there isn't that effect of like randomness, like, oh, my highest scoring lineup just so happened to end up in the lowest entry fee contest. And when you use unique rank, it's more like, hey, you know, I put the best lineups into the best contest And if I didn't play those lower dollar ones anyways, and I just played some of these higher dollar ones, well, I would have never even ended up playing that lineup at all. So I think unique rank makes it like hurt a little less. That being said, you know, I am somebody who has just over time learned to accept the variance, and I personally use unique random. I think the more important thing here is to make sure that you are entering a unique lineup into every entry that you have. I think that's probably the more important factor here. You know, if you are building a good pool of lineups and making good adjustments and playing a lot of lineups, well, you know, if you have a strong pool, you kind of want to play more of your pool. And more you play, those good lineups are going to end up in your contests. And, you know, you're basically just waiting for variance to swing your way there. So I'd say that the more important thing here is to always use one of the unique methods, figure out which one you can tolerate better here, and then just roll with it and try to get as many unique lineups in as possible would be my best advice. All right, next question here. Question says, is there really a big difference contest sim-wise if I select a flagship MME and use that for all my low stakes 20 max as well if sorting by ceiling? Should we be sorting by 85th, 95th, or 99th percentile? Okay, so two questions here. First one is, hey, is there a big difference between selecting flagship MME as opposed to using low stakes 20 max? You know, honestly, probably the easiest way to compare this is like to switch the metrics and see how your projection, see how your ownership projections adjust, right? So I think like one thing that we could do here is like look at the flagship MME pre-slate ownership. So what we're seeing here is Pablo Lopez at like 43% and then Marcus Stroman down at 24, Kevin Gausman at 21, just like to name the top few guys, right? And then so if I go from flagship MME and I go down to low stakes 20 max, let's see how these adjust. Well, it looks like Lopez goes down a couple ownership points. Stroman goes down a couple ownership points. Gausman goes down a couple. So, you know, there are some small changes that are happening here. I don't know why you wouldn't want to just use the one that's like connected to most of the contests that you're playing. If you're asking like, hey, I'm playing, you know, four contests, is it fine to just use one contest sim for all four contests? I think that's okay, right? If you are, you know, trying to be time sensitive, if you'd rather just use one contest sim for the sake of like ease of management when it comes to like late swap and things like that, I think it's okay. You know, we could see the changes here being minute. You know, it depends how specific you want to be. Some people will say that and be like, oh, you know, there's some percent changes here. You know, I want to make sure I'm accounting for as much edge as I can possibly get. So I would never think about, you know, using the contest bucket that's not assigned to the contest. Some people are like, I'm okay, you know, cutting that corner a little bit, not being as specific for the sake of time. So kind of got to figure out what works right for you. I think it's totally okay to use one contest sim if that makes your life easier. And then the second question was, if sorting by ceiling, should we be using 85th, 95th, or 99th percentile? I prefer to lean on the 95th or 99th. And the reason for that is when you come over to, you know, the contest screen, right? And you come over and look at these cash rates, you know, the cash rates are 19%, 20%, 25%. So basically, like if you're optimizing for 75th percentile, that's like basically the cash line, maybe not even the cash line for some of these contests. If you're doing 85th, you're a little bit closer. But, you know, remember, our goal isn't to cash. Our goal is to win these contests, right? If you're optimizing to cash, you're probably going to go broke over time because, you know, a 20% cash rate is a 1 out of 5 chance, but you're only getting paid maybe even double your money when you finish, you know, right at like the 19th percentile here. So we really need these outcomes in the top 1% where we are, you know, multiplying our earnings to stay alive in DFS and maintain your bankroll. So for that reason, I prefer 95th or 99th, probably even leaning more toward 99th here. So that is what I would recommend if I had to choose. All right. Question from Jimmy. Jimmy said, what would be the best way to rule and or slash group together several pairs of players. For example, I understand how to structure if player A is used, then use at least player B. But what if you have five or six of these different pairs across different teams? Are they all separate rules slash groups? They would be separate rules or groups here, especially if they are across teams. I think, you know, one thing that you can probably take advantage of here is a new feature that we have here. So when you go to your settings, this was one of our latest releases here. It are these build templates, and I'm just going to go into our release notes from Friday here. So basically, when you guys, we've always had the ability to save build settings, but what used to happen was this was only able to be done like for the sliders or min and max salary, things like that. Well, now the build template has been built out to also include filters and group rules that you want to save and use for future slates. So maybe you're always setting a rule that, you know, I want to play pitchers, for instance, who throw more than 50 pitches, and you're trying to avoid playing like an opener or somebody who's only going to go like three innings or something like that, right? So I'm going to play pitchers, and then I'm going to go and turn on my don't use batters against opposing pitcher group rule, right? So then when I go to my build settings here and then I click save, I'm going to give this a name, and I'm just going to name it, you know, preset one here. Well, when I do that and I click save, and then now when I go back, I click save again, I can see that it's still here, right? So what I could do is I go and open up a new build. Now, this is a completely fresh build, no filter, no rules. Well, I can go to my settings, and then I can go and click that build template one, and then it's going to add that filter, and then it's going to turn on that rule automatically here. So this is a good way if you have like a lot of group rules or manual rules that you take time setting up and, you know, you want to carry them over. Well, hey, just create them all in a build template and save them. And then that way you don't have to redo them every single time. And then they'll automatically populate here. So just an idea, some food for thought to help you make that process quicker here is all. All right. Looks like we're all caught up here in the Office Hours channel in Discord. So I'm going to be hopping over to the YouTube chat. Question from Joshua. Is it possible to combine two rules? Example, unstacked MLB players must either have a high likelihood of stolen base or home run. If do each separately, it would only allow a player that fits both, not either or threshold. Good question here. I don't think you're going to be able to do this. You're basically trying to do a stack requirement that is like an if that, like a or. So what you would do is group automatic. You would say if at least one per team whose requirement is home runs, all right, so if their home runs are less than, you know, say 0.1, and then you're basically trying to say, or stolen bases is less than X. So unfortunately, you can add a requirement here to where it's like a plus, but you're not going to be able to say home runs less than or stolen bases less than. So that's like the key difference here. I think that we could probably take this back to the team as like a feature request where it's like, hey, you know, let's add an or option in the stat requirements. I think that's probably the best course of action here is to add that ability. So I'll mention that to the team here as like a, you know, future update iteration to how the lineup rules work, but you can't do exactly what you're asking at the moment. Good question from Liam. What is the update to the bankroll plan? So we released a video over on our YouTube channel. I'll pull that up for you here. And if I go to how to beat MLB DFS in 2024, it is going to be this: maximize your MLB DFS profits in 2024 with these tips. So this video released about 2 weeks ago here is the video that you're looking for. This is like our updated bankroll video for now at the moment. So I'll drop this in the chat for anybody who is looking for that video. All right. Jimmy said, that works. Thank you. Joshua said, thanks. Yep. Happy to help you guys out. Samuel said, I didn't get any exposure to the top exposed team in my pool until I cranked Mini Nix to 7. I guess it comes down to the individual user. But how would you handle that? So, you know, probably the most exposed team in your pool was San Diego. You know, a lot of this is going to come down to their ownership projections. Like I saw that, you know, the batters for San Diego yesterday were like 20%+ owned. And it really comes down to, you know, how those players perform. So I think that, you know, yesterday it seemed like the builder really wanted to fade the high owned batters for San Diego. With the high amount of player ownership that they had. So, you know, if you're fading them too hard for your own risk tolerance, you know, cranking up Mini Nix or even increasing their minimum exposure just so you're not so highly leveraged against them are both fine options. It's going to come down to like a personal preference of whether you are okay full fading, you know, San Diego Padres in Coors Field or not. And that's kind of a personal question. So totally okay to set a min exposure there to make yourself more comfortable. Okay. So he said this is a turbo slate today with the Dodgers. I would say, you know, probably something similar, right? Like Dodgers are a high team total team on a short slate. You're going to see like a very similar, probably like perspective. The builder like kind of says like, hey, you know, these high owned batters are just so high variance. And you could tell by looking at the players' adjusted ownerships, right? Like if we pull in this adjusted ownership and we look at like some of the batters, like Xander Bogaerts, 14% owned, higher adjusted ownership, Tatis the same, Cronenworth the same, like all of this kind of compounds over time. And like the more higher owned they are, the bigger this disparity is going to be. So I think it's okay to, you know, crank up some minimum exposure if you see fit in that scenario. But all right, we are all caught up with questions here in the Discord and the YouTube chat. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We will make sure to reach out to the winners for the birdie battle for this week. And until tomorrow, everybody, take care. Good luck. I'll see you all. Thanks. Bye.